Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, Andy was telling us more about his mastermind fixation. And in fact, we put his specialist knowledge and his specialist subject to the test with humourable results. Yes. So you'll hear that.
We had a pointless edition of What's in Andy's Bag.
What's in Andy's Bag. We're almost certainly the last ever edition of that particular strand. We went off to the World Pie Eating Championships that took place earlier in the week at Harry's Bar in Wigan. And I think that should just about do you at the moment. Mm. So here it all is.
Every time I see a rumour, like, I saw this one that Chelsea were battling Newcastle to sign Anthony Gordon. I thought, that's not true. It can't be.
Yeah.
Who's doing our recruitment? Cliff Jones? We only sign wingers? It's unbelievable.
I think you do a good job, Cliff. The book, when they look back on the Bowley years, the book will be called A Surfeit of Fofanas. Yeah. I'll be signing copies of my new book. You got to, how many more Fofanas do you want?
It's like the opposite to Alf's Wingless Wonders.
Are you collecting?
Todd's Wingful Wonders.
Yeah, that's right. It's great, though, isn't it? I mean, a club that gave you Pat Nevin and Charlie Cook are so keen on buying lots and lots of wingers.
Bumpus, brilliant. Isn't it? It's mad, really. But look, it's very interesting. The players they bought in this window, now they've got a recruitment team, actually look really good.
Yeah.
And
they're
right.
Buying young players.
They're buying young players, buying good players. The players that old Todd bought in the summer, that was a disaster, what he did. It really was. And that's going to cost them. It's going to be quite difficult to untangle all that, get people out.
You think Raheem Sterling could be off soon?
Sterling, Koulibaly. I think there's quite a few, really. So, yeah. I was waiting for the second half to start of Newcastle. last night, Southampton, Newcastle. Actually, quite a good game for a first leg. I quite enjoyed it. And I started watching Racing Post Greyhound TV. I'm a big fan.
Wow,
Channel 437.
You're not a big one for half-time punditry, then?
No, I'm not really.
You'd seen with your own eyes what had gone on.
I didn't watch the first half. I love the commentary, though. The 902 at Crayford. It was great. And it's 2 from 3 from 5 and 6 and 4's got blocked. And number one dog coming through and 3 and 4's won it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's fantastic. I was thinking football commentary should be like that, just the players' numbers.
Yeah.
That'd get rid of a few egos, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. Talking of egos, it looks like Arno Danjuma could be heading for Spurs instead of Everton, as we now all know. Mm. But apparently, the way they went about this move from Villarreal on loan was for him and his agent, well, mainly his agent, to get all the interested clubs together, and that included Everton, Southampton, Nottingham Forest, and Bournemouth, his former club. And then, after he'd sort of spoken to all those clubs, or certainly his agent had, and he had a chat with the agent, they found out who had gone through to the next round.
Right.
Oh, he's full of himself, isn't he? Or maybe his agent is.
Yeah.
This is a loan from Villarreal, by the way, via Bournemouth. I don't think it's via PSG. I mean, you know, I'm not looking a gift horse in the mouth, but still, the idea that they treated it like Pop Idol.
Yeah.
So in the end, he probably sat down and he said, Arno, you're coming to London.
Exactly, coming to North London.
Yeah, that's it.
He can stay, if it's built, he can stay at the new Tottenham Stadium Hotel.
Yes, I know.
Who wants to stay in a hotel in Tottenham, for goodness sake? I can't see that working myself.
Who wants to stay in a hotel in Tottenham?
Well, why would you, really? You come to London, it's not a place you go for your holidays, would it? Where are you going for the weekend? I'm going to Tottenham.
You wouldn't go there for your holidays?
No.
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, he's got a lot going for it.
Chicken Cottage.
Have a little walk around. Chick King.
Chick King, what it's called,
Bruce Castle Park, and have a little walk around there.
Marvellous.
What else can you do? You can go and see the Butchers that Cliff Jones, you mentioned earlier on, used to co-own back in the day when footballers, when the great players of the world had butchers as well as
footballers were butchers. That sounds like a book at Pitch Publishing. Let's get them in. When footballers were butchers.
That's right. Well, I mean, I think that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, when footballers
Jack
were.
Taylor.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I mean, that's it, really, isn't it? I can't think. It's quite a short book. It's more a pamphlet.
Yeah. Anyway, Eusebio had a butchers in Portugal.
Did he really? Yeah, no. Yeah, Eusebio had a butchers. Cuts.
Talking of food, it's the Chef's World Cup. It sounds like a top event. 24 contestants. Been going for about quite a long time. 1987, I think.
Do they have cutaways of Infantino in his white trainers all the time?
Well, he turned up at the trophy presentation.
Of course,
he did. Gate crashed it. But Arsene Wenger has recommended it's doubled to 48 chefs.
Yeah,
including any short order cooks from McDonald's.
Yes.
That's it.
He wouldn't have said that when he ran his own restaurant, would he? He wouldn't have wanted it expanded then. We touched last week again. I won't do it again today, but we did touch on the old odd twisted memorabilia from the world of football. We reopened the twisted memorabilia wing of the TalkSport Museum. Mm. But if there was a music version, this would be in there. A plum stone grabbed from a bin after being eaten by One Direction's Harry Styles in 2014. It's for sale online for £500.
Well, if you buy that, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Okay. I don't quite know what to do with it, but wow.
You could extract some DNA and start your own One Direction.
You could, but you'd have basically five Harry Styleses, which would be a bit freakish, wouldn't it? Like a Tales from the Unexpected. Anyway, Dan Juma like hijackings. Does that ever go on in any other world? I don't know. I mean,
I imagine it does, actually.
Do you get equivalents of that? Suddenly somebody stepping in and nicking somebody or something from under your nose? Well, let's have it then. Dan Juma like hijackings.
TalkSport.com. You're trying to hijack Ken Bruce's move.
Yeah. Tweet TS. You're going to sign him up, are you? Well, fantastic. Could. Issue to come and get me, please.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
On Monday, Andy came to the realisation that he was basically a 14-year-old girl. He was spending 12, 13 hours a day on social media. 6 hours on TikTok, 5 hours on Instagram.
More, 7 hours on TikTok.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah. I basically wasted...
So you needed a digital detox.
12 and a half hours on social media last week. Oh. And I thought, this is ridiculous. So I just deleted the app, and it's amazing. I haven't missed it at all.
Really?
Not.
You've had no withdrawal. There wasn't a moment when you wanted to go and watch somebody making Brooklyn Beckham making an egg. No. There wasn't one moment when you needed that fix.
There wasn't.
Really?
Yeah.
And what have you been doing? What have you done with those 7 hours instead?
Well,
watch Tipping Point.
No. Catchphrase. We got a. I've got a book. So
have you? Wow.
So I start reading a book. It's quite good, actually. It's quite novel.
Yeah.
Mm. It's not
Andy,
a novel.
Do you mind if we have a game of What's in Andy's Bag?
No point.
We haven't played. Have you had a big clear out?
You know what, Sue?
This is the occasional series we do when it's always quite surprising what Andy brings to work with him. But his wife has taken recently to emptying his bag out.
Yeah, it's a symptom of her illness, sadly, that she basically, she always was a little bit OCD, but now she's very, so everything has to be, and I can't stop her. She just goes into my bag, takes it all out, makes it all neat and everything.
And then does she put it back in?
No.
Okay, and so you've got to go and find it again.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Maybe there's nothing in Andy's bag. We've started at the front of the bag. What have we got today?
A thing from my new Beats headphones, a sort of guarantee.
Okay, the guarantee for your Beats headphones. Yeah, nice.
Charger.
A charger, for your phone.
A nice green marker pen there.
Yeah, it's all a bit dull at the moment. What's happened to all the rehydration tablets you used to carry around with? This could be the last ever What's in Andy's Bag.
I told her, I said to her, you've ruined What's in Andy's Bag.
You got
she thinks is very
more pens. There's still about 30 pens.
Total Care breath freshener.
Okay.
Fresh mint flavour.
You've always had a thing about your breath. I've sat very close to you for 20 years, and I've never noticed your...
You'll like this one, though. This is recommended to me by Andy Goldstein, a bottle of Glendronach Original.
Yeah, What's in Andy's Bag? A really good bottle of single malt.
That's not bad, is it?
I'll tell you what, for a slightly different dynamic to this afternoon show, let's work our way through that over the next 2.25 hours.
Oh, yeah, this is another thing. Sue doesn't like using up supermarket bags, so she gives me a supermarket bag in case I go shopping on the
way. So you've got a supermarket bag in there, yeah. And what else we got?
Some blank paper.
Nice, yeah, yeah. This is quite a dull episode.
Quite a few pens. Not as many pens.
A lot of pens. What else is coming out? Some bit of old plastic wrapping for nothing.
Another cap.
You are a bit like Mr. Treebus. A cap? What's the cap for, Andy? What's you've got a Talk Sport really. Cap on today. You're looking $1 million.
I'm definitely a company man. Yeah. Another green marker pen.
Okay, you do favour those.
Quite a minimal amount of pens, actually. Only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 pens.
Where's your book? Why have you brought your book with you to read on the train? No, I mean the one you're reading.
No, no.
The book you're reading instead of being on TikTok.
Well, it doesn't work on the train, does it?
What doesn't? What, reading a book?
No, the phone.
Oh, okay. Oh, what, you're reading it on your phone?
Yeah.
You're reading a book on your phone?
No, I'm not reading a book on my phone. I read my phone on the way home. I look at Twitter and Chelsea website.
Oh, okay. So much for the digital detox.
Well,
that's working.
Complete digital detox. I've got to stay on top of things. I need to know what's going on.
So was that it, Andy?
I'm sorry. It's disappointing, isn't
Sue
it?
Sue is ruined. She was ruined this what's section. In Andy's bag.
I know.
Andy would normally have about 30 or 40 rehydration tablets.
All sorts of... I used to have basically a medical bag, really.
Yeah, it was. It was like a doctor's bag at times. It should have been a sort of leather
what
one.
What can you do? The only thing of interest, I'd say, was the whiskey.
Oh, the big find was the Glendronach. Beautiful.
Which is not a regular thing that I carry about with me.
Here we go, Andy. A very different show over the next 2.25 hours. Yeah,
sorry, don't touch that dial. That was so disappointing.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shame. So that was the last ever What's in Andy's Bag. Very sorry to disappoint those people that often say, isn't it about time you did a What's in Andy's Bag? That's it. It's gone as
what
a format, sadly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Dance Music has been in touch and says, it looks like we're going to have to start a new series. What's in Andy's Bag? Pewter. We probably are. Go back to some of the classic editions.
He's right.
From back in the day when Andy's Bag was Andy's Bag. And he was also telling me just now that with his wife, the subtitles coming up very quickly on TV. You have to...
I have to read them for her.
You have to read them and often
reading
act out all the parts.
I know.
When it's got subtitles.
One of the first things she said to me when we got back from hospital, she said she likes this series. It's an Israeli series called Shtitzel. It's about an Orthodox Jewish family.
Yeah.
She said, can we watch it? I went, yeah, sure. And of course the subtitles came up because it's all in Israeli. And I had to play all the parts, which was fine with the old rabbi. I was quite good at that. But the rest of it...
you did that in the Avi Cohen Phoenix back in the day on fantasy football, didn't
it's
you?
It's true. But anything with subtitles, I have to stop and read them to her. And
right.
It's fine. It's the nature of the thing.
I bet you get quite method when you're playing all the parts.
I do. I'm quite good, actually.
I mean, you play all the women.
Do you affect
a slightly higher voice when you do those?
I do. I try and do a bit of acting. I'm incredibly patient. You never have thought this, would
no.
you?
No, I know.
I'm really surprised myself how patient I am, being the world's most intolerant person.
Yeah.
It's quite
amazing.
And
in many cases, certainly around football,
well,
I still am.
Yeah. I still am very intolerant, but not with her, which is good.
Anyway, one of the big sporting events of the year has already taken place. It's the World Pie Eating Championship up in Wigan. And the winner is a familiar face. I think it's the third time he's won it. So let's head up there now and speak to the pie master, Tony Callahan. Hi, Tony.
Afternoon, are you well?
Yeah, we're not too bad. Lovely at our annual chat. It's always good to talk to you. We're all so good.
Nice to chat to you.
Yeah. So just give us a bit of background. 26 years it's been running now, the World Pie Eating Championships. Is that right?
Yeah, I just started to be fun 26 years ago. A few pies in one of the first pubs I got and basically put them on the table, see how quickly they could eat as many pies as possible. And as things have transpired over the years, the competition's got bigger and bigger, and everybody's got involved. So we now do it for health and safety. It's one pie as quickly as possible.
You don't want anybody choking.
Yeah, I'm sure these pies are absolutely delicious. But what happens if you got one that's a bit more gristly than the other one?
Well, do you have someone on hand who can do the Heimlich? I mean, just in case, is there a medical team standing by?
We have everybody there. We've got medical team, we've got security, we've got everything. You name it, we've got it.
Yes. Brilliant, isn't it?
So the job is to eat one pie, one meat and potato pie, as quickly as you can, basically, and then when they've got an empty mouth, you stop the clock, and the quickest eater is the winner.
So simple. Simple. But, of course, people who are in training for this, because it's such an elite sport, they've been in training for a good while, and, of course, we didn't do it throughout COVID, unfortunately, for 2 years. So they've really been in training, so we had some real athletes turn up for this one.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What temperature are the pies? Because they can't be too hot, can they?
No, we obviously get them fresh bait, but we let them go quite tepid. We don't let them go cold because they coagulate.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult eating a coagulated pie. And of course, we don't allow any lubricants in the competition.
No, okay. So it's not like the old hot dogs. I was fortunate enough to go to the Coney Island World Hot Dog Eating Championship last year, and they lubricate, they dip the buns in. So you don't, they can't have a pint on the go, or they can't have water to help it down, though.
No cough mixture or anything like that. It's just a case of get your pie down as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Now, you had one female entrant this year, travelled all the way from the Cotswolds with her husband. She had won a Yorkshire pudding eating contest, but she didn't trouble the winner's podium this year, sadly.
No, she didn't get much in a gob, unfortunately. She did do very well eating a pie, you know. Very disappointed.
It's a very different technique, I think, to the Yorkshire pudding, I guess. So, I mean, they came from the Cotswolds. So, I mean, you've had people from all over the world coming along, haven't you, to get involved in this?
Yeah, we had a family from America, and it was quite comical because the two kiddies turned up and thought, what's going on here? I thought I was being set up. And they've got a 9 and a 10-year-old, a 9 and 11-year-old, and they wanted to enter the competition, and they'd read about it online, and they were visiting the UK, and it was part of the holiday. We'll let them enter the competition, but, of course, they got nowhere.
Oh, I don't know. I thought, you know, Americans, they do like their food.
Yes, it depends. Yeah. I think it was a bit of a stereotype there, Andy, but there we are.
Well, we've got to be up there. Yes. I don't think I'm wrong, though. Yeah. Just have a look. And it's interesting because, according to the paper, the Barry Rigby...
He's won it again, yeah, third time.
He wolfed down a regulation-sized meat and potato pie in 35.4 seconds. But on my notes here, it says that it was 34.5, so it got transposed. So
34.5 is
it? It was 34.5, so the paper were out there by 0.9 of a second.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I have to go and write my
letter. You want to watch that guy eat, and it's unbelievable. He throws them in like nobody's business.
What's the technique he uses? Does he just sort of... can you see a discernible technique he tries? What does he do?
He just gets the pie. You've never seen the size of his gob. He gets the pie, starts chucking it in. How he swallows it, I just do not know. Three bitefuls he did his pie in yesterday. I couldn't believe it.
A bit of an anaconda.
No idea.
Yeah. An anaconda.
That's quite incredible. So expands his throat. It's amazing, isn't it? Well,
It's the Bradley Piggins Trophy, is it? Is that what they call it?
The Bradley Piggins Trophy, yep, certainly
that's
is.
A good name.
And that bears well, they love this trophy. Yeah. And it's, of course, all the stardom that comes when they win this competition.
Yeah.
You know, they become instant stars overnight.
Fantastic. You must have given it a try, Tony, over the years. What's your time like on a pie?
Oh, God, no, I don't like meat and potato pie. I'm a steak pie now.
No,
I won't be entering the competition. No, not for me, meat and potato.
And how did you come to meat and potato? Because it's a bit pappy, the old spud, isn't it? You felt it was... why did you decide on that pie as the competition standard?
Well, it's easy because once meat and potatoes coot, it's quite sloppy when it's quite lukewarm. So it's quicker to get. So if I use we did a vegetarian one year, it was a nightmare. So we don't bother with vegetarian. So we've gone for a real old traditional meat and potato pie. A lot easier to eat. And, you know, it can be quite messy when they start dropping it down, sticking in the beards and everything. So it's quite good fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting looking at Barry. Barry is clean shaven. There's no, you know, he doesn't have the beard because he's a proper technician, isn't he? You can see that. And he's a local lad, so it stays in Wigan, the title, for another year, doesn't it?
That's the best thing about it, because, of course, it's a local company. I don't like these foreigners from Bolton and St Helens entry. we do let them enter. And Southerners, good heavens, I mean, we've never had a Southerner come down to this car. I don't think they know how to eat pies.
Oh, wow.
We should send the moose up there next
year. Yeah, we've got somebody we think he could be very good.
I think he could be tremendous.
That's right. So we may be sending our entrant up for the competition. Well, until we meet again, Tony, next year. Yes, until we meet in potato again. Have a great year, and congratulations on another fine final. There we are. This Tony Callahan. The organiser of the World Pie Eating Championships, Harry's Bar in Wigan.
I don't know. I should have asked Tony if he's a butcher, because he's dressed in a white coat and a white hat.
Well, I think that's his style, isn't it, really, for when he's doing the competition.
Oh, yeah.
We are... you're obsessed with butchers today, aren't you? We are up that way, just down the road in Warrington.
Yeah.
for the start of the Super League. We're really looking forward to it. We're going to be up doing the show ahead of the Warrington Leeds game on the 16th of February.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, looking forward to start Super League as well as being up there for that first.
We got a restaurant recommendation from World Darts Champion Michael Smith.
We did. We certainly did. So it's all coming together nicely. Very much looking forward to the game. And our young assistant producer has never seen a game of rugby league. And I've just said to him, and you can have a pint. They treat you like an adult at rugby league. You can sit down a little leisurely pint while you watch the game.
That'll be good.
Unless things have changed since I was last there. But anyway, we look forward to that. And on Friday, talking of being on the road, we are live at Wembley Arena ahead of our big fight on Saturday night, Paterbia versus Yard, and all the build-up to that. We'll have the weigh-in during the show. Lots of special guests from the world of boxing and beyond joining us. So do hope you can join us on Friday from 1 as we build up to our big fight on Saturday evening here on TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I do love Fletch's physiotherapist take on an injury there. He's got a dicky ankle. That's right. Imagine that, saying that the manager comes in, well, when will he be back, says Jurgen Klopp. Well, I don't know, he's got a dicky ankle. It'd be great with just dealing, a physio that was just sort of dealing in vagaries like that. It'd be beautiful, wouldn't it? No, who knows? A month, a year, who knows?
Talking of
I can't
Fletch,
tell you, Jurgen.
I hope it's Pedro Porro, not Pedro Porro, from your point of view.
Yeah, well, he has a bad game. That's your headline writer's dream, isn't it? Yeah, that's been our Leandro Damião of this transfer window.
Pedro Porro,
it's one of those.
I think you'll get him. We're not involved there at all.
Yeah, he played very well against Spurs for Sporting in the Champions
League.
Yeah,
Perry, we're looking for a right back. A guy called Gusto, and it says Chelsea have agreed terms with Gusto.
So really put their back into the negotiations. It's a bit who's on first, isn't it? We've agreed terms with Gusto. Yeah, but who are you looking to sign with Gusto? Yeah, I know how you did it, but who are you looking
the other day,
to sign?
Bayek.
Yeah, that's right.
Now it's a very warm welcome back to an old familiar friend this morning, Moose's Disgusting Breakfast.
Yes, it's great to see Moose's Disgusting Breakfast back, and many old boys and girls who've worked at Talk Sport.
It's true.
got that smell in their nostrils again of egg and tuna. The moose was known in our old building when we had a microwave within sort of a sniffing distance of the studios for cooking these terrible fishy, eggy concoctions.
Oh, not good.
Yeah, scrambled egg and tuna in the company microwave. I mean, it should be a sacking offence.
This morning, you can't make scrambled eggs in a microwave, not if you want to actually eat them.
But then you chuck some tuna in as well. Oh, and yes, our former producer, David Walker, says, he said, I can actually still smell that as I look at the picture. It was evocative. But yeah, good. Welcome back to. Also, you've made people very misty-eyed about old editions of What's in Andy's Bag today.
including
Jez. Whatever happened to Andy's potato? One of the great joys of that feature was that Andy did carry some very odd things around. For many years, he had a small puppet of the popular 60s children's character Topo Gigio in his bag.
That's true. I don't know what happened to him.
And also, for a while, he carried a potato, which he drew a face on. That was in his bag every day.
Like my son, Spud.
I mean, honestly, if anybody had ever opened your bag, if you'd got arrested and then looked in your bag, it would have locked you up.
I know.
It's some very odd stuff in it, but no more. Now it's just pens.
I mean, I could put a potato in there with a face on it, but then I'd come in and it'd be gone. It'd be in the fridge with the potato's face scrubbed off.
Quite possibly. I'm very tempted to put something with subtitles on this TV so you can play all the parts for us.
Yeah, that's really good, isn't it? I was watching Mastermind, you know, my new game, I call it the Mastermind, not the plumber game.
Yeah.
This is because Clive Murray, who's an excellent presenter, no question, but he just does this very long sort of explanation of every subject, the specialist subject. And you think, all right, some of them you need. Like one specialist subject was Egon Schiele, the artist who died in such and such. Never heard of him. Good name for an artist, isn't it? Egon Schiele.
I don't know Egon Schiele.
Actually, the woman who was answering questions on him didn't seem to know much about him either, to be really honest.
He's always a problem on Mastermind.
But the specialist subject of this bloke was Wallace and Gromit, and Clive said, the stop-motion films directed by Nick Park about the absent-minded inventor and his dog. I've written, not a firm of plumbers then. Yeah. Who doesn't know who Wallace and Gromit is?
Who's Wallace and Gromit?
I don't know who Wallace and Gromit is.
Ben Wallace and Gromit.
Wallace and Gromit.
Do you want to know five things about Egon Schiele?
Oh, yeah, go on.
Schiele Take a Bow, of course, was the big song that the Smiths didn't know. He was Gustav Klimt's protege.
Oh, really?
Remember Gustav Klimt? Oh, he went to Leeds, player. Had a season at Leeds.
Yeah, tremendous player, yeah.
He couldn't take his eyes off his subjects, literally, apparently. He spent time in prison, or keep it light. And what else? Yeah, he drew right until his death. Died with a pencil in his hand. He could have found one in your bag, couldn't he, if he was ever struggling. So just some of the things you know about Egon Schiele.
It's Fashion Week in Paris this weekend.
Yeah.
The papers are full of some, of course, mad fashions. But one of the ones that really got me was this Kylie Jenner wearing a dress that basically has a lion's head attached to it. And it absolutely reminded me, you all know him, of 60s TV favourite Lenny the Lion.
Lenny the Lion, Mr. Zeitgeist Andy Jacobs.
I showed the producer, he went, oh yeah, that's exactly right.
Yes, I think it was a kind of protest around animal rights because a number of the models were sporting various animals. So I don't think it was a fashion per se.
Oh,
I think it was an animal rights protest.
I don't know if it was the fashion
But it would have been
editor.
Great if Kylie had started going, oh, in the box. It would have been good if she's got a new act.
Georgina Roberts in the Times tried it out. She bought a little lion and stuck it on her dress.
Imagine that, though. Yeah. She suddenly said that I've made too much money from cosmetics and being on reality TV. I want to work the working men's clubs as a vent act. Fantastic, wasn't it? I never paid my dues in the world of showbiz, so I'm going to start right from the bottom. And whatever happened to Sockley Park, says one of the listeners.
Oh, well, you know, he's coming up for Cheltenham. Sue's making him a new outfit.
Well, yes, indeed. Let's hope so. So, Sockley Park, our old friend Sockley Park, which is Andy's glove puppet.
He lives in my bedside drawer for some reason.
You're not a well man.
No, I'm not really.
Did you say, I'm surprised you haven't seen this, Brooklyn Beckham went out with his missus the other day sporting a David Beckham 7 football shirt.
Oh, no.
Long sleeve, wearing one of Dad's old tops.
This is poor, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I suppose, he can lay his hands on
this.
He
was on the front cover of a New York magazine and it's feature on, I think it was Nepo children, like children who basically benefit by having famous parents.
Yeah.
Not a great thing, really.
You're claiming that's the case, are you, Andy?
Well, not me. The magazine did this.
Oh, OK, fair enough.
It was not ideal. The thing about social media and everything. I mean, even David Beckham, there's a story about him this morning about how he's having a cold shower. I don't know if you saw this story. Cold bath.
He gets in his swimming pool. Yeah, a lot of people swear by it, don't they?
Yeah. David Beckham must have, I won't read that bit, as he braves an ice bath in a national paper, in his garden, in just pants and a beanie.
Yeah.
He said on Instagram it was self-care.
I hope I never see you in your garden in just pants and a beanie.
I watched it and I thought, what if you filmed this and put it on your Instagram? What's the point? You're like invading your own privacy. Yeah. They know the papers will pick it up and it's very... I'm not happy about it, really.
Well, since you've become very anti-social media in the last 24 hours, the backlash has begun.
I think I've got a new business for Brooklyn, actually. This bloke, he started this business. It's basically hugging people.
Okay.
Yeah. It's quite a good idea, really. You just go around... of course, I can't find it.
We really are post-COVID, aren't we, according to this bloke?
Oh, yeah, here it is. It's professional cuddler Trevor Hooten, 30... known as Treasure, I don't know why.
Known as Treasure Hooten.
Treasure Hooten. Okay. Better if his name was, I don't know, Trevor Island and they called him Treasure. That'd be more.
I'm not massively keen. I don't want somebody coming in invading my personal space like that. I mean,
he
give you a
75
warning?
Quid for an hour long hug.
Did he really?
In the end of it, you'd be going, get off me, Trevor, for goodness sake.
What is he? What? Is there some sort of medicinal quality to it?
Yes, it's his company, Embrace Connections, it's called.
And what, he just comes up and cuddles you?
Yeah.
He makes 75 quid an hour?
I think so, yeah.
Wow. We're in the wrong game, aren't we?
We are, really.
Fantastic. Well, if I'm going to do that, you're going to have to use your breath freshener that you found in your bag earlier on. So it's a rather full 75.
Hyenas, the carnivorous mammals widespread across Africa. Not a plumber's then.
Are you reading too much into Clive? I mean, it's true. If you're watching Mastermind, you're watching a general knowledge quiz in which the questions are, you know, about Egon Schiele, for goodness sake, something we hadn't heard of till 5 minutes ago.
I did all right.
So why would you have to...
Sue said to me, what would your specialist subject be? So I said I would probably...
Chelsea, the blue square years.
Chelsea footballers or England Test cricketers. I said, what would yours be? She said, sitting down. That's what he likes doing the best, just sitting and watching telly.
Which Clive Myra would say, the art of not standing up.
Exactly.
I do, Andy, for the first time, I've not agreed with you on your Clive Myra fixation, but I think if you're watching that show and you have to explain what a hyena is, then you wouldn't be watching that show.
No, I know. It does seem a bit silly, really. I quite like, I now take part in the general knowledge bit at the same time, and I did all right, actually. Yeah, I got 9.
You take part in it. Well, I mean, you watch the show and you answer the questions.
I like to answer the questions. Okay. I'm all right on the general knowledge. So I reckon if I actually did it, I'd be about... I wouldn't win it, but I think I'd be second.
Oh, okay. Reach for the stars. Fantastic. And your specialist subject would be what?
I think it would have to be Chelsea footballers from...
A particular era?
Yeah, I'd say from the Abramovich years.
Yeah.
Because I used to support Arsenal before then. According to
Wikipedia. That's what everybody says.
Oh, heaven forbid. Can you imagine?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I love it. The celebrity ones where obviously people go on there and they have one episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
It's that great, isn't it? I'll go on the show, but I'm not going to put any work into
it. This bloke knew a lot about Wallace and Gromit. He was tremendous.
Really?
Yeah.
But Egon Schiele wasn't a winner.
No.
Anyway, you are listening to TalkSport, and we will be turning very shortly. Whatever happened to Andy drawing on his bananas? That's a lot of whatever happened to Andy. That's half on the M6.
Well, I still do my doodles, don't I?
On bananas?
No, not on bananas. I do them on paper. But
if you're listening, you're thinking, who is this bloke? He carries a potato around. He draws on bananas.
I do these subconscious doodles, and then when I go home, that's another one of Sue's things, she cuts them all out and puts them in a book. I've got books and books of my show doodles.
Wow. Yeah, maybe you'll be a specialist subject in Mastermind one
really
day.
It's really odd, isn't it? What an odd life. Never mind.
It does all make sense, though, really. It all feeds into what we get on air, doesn't it?
I suppose so.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So, Andy, you said earlier on that you've been watching Mastermind a bit more regularly, mainly to get Clive Myrie's explanations of who people are. And you've been doing quite well on the general knowledge.
Not bad.
Yeah, but on the specialist subjects, obviously, you know, you're reliant. Yeah. And your wife asked you what your specialist subject would be. And you said it would be Chelsea during the Abramovich era.
Yeah, it might be Test cricketers since 1970.
Well, I haven't got any questions on
Test cricketers.
I've got the Abramovich years, which has hurriedly been put together by our team behind the glass there. So do you want to give it a go? See how you get on?
Well, I can't wait to be humiliated.
Well, you said this was going to be your specialist subject on Mastermind, so let's see how you get on.
by specialist subject, Chelsea footballers. The club that play at Stamford Bridge in blue.
That's right, South West London. Yeah, that's what Clive would say. OK, I mean, you're kind of against the clock. You're kind of... I've only got eight, so when we get the eighth question, we'll slightly cheat it. So here we go.
Again, yeah, go on.
Andy Jacobs, your questions on the Roman Abramovich years at Chelsea start now. Which Croatian footballer scored a goal from 35 yards out that won Match of the Day's goal of the season against West Ham? The goal was part of a brace on his debut in August 2000.
Mario Stanic.
Correct. Which Spanish fullback made four appearances for the Basque region? He made 25 appearances for Chelsea in the 2005-2006 season.
Pass.
Okay. Which midfielder from...
Not Albert Ferreira, is it?
Well, you've passed. Which midfielder from Bafoussam in Cameroon signed for Chelsea in 2003? He stayed there until 2007, making 72 appearances and scoring four goals.
Pass.
Okay. Which Czech player was signed from CSKA Moscow in January 2005, sent on loan to Birmingham that August after having started in the 2005 League Cup final, which Chelsea won 3-2 against Liverpool?
Was it Djukanovic?
It wasn't, I'm afraid. It was Yuri Yarosik.
Oh, Yarosik. I knew it was.
Claudio Ranieri bought this Russian player to Chelsea from Bordeaux in August 2003 before loaning him to Portsmouth for the 2003-2004 season. These are very long questions. After some impressive performances at Fratton Park, he returned to London. However, Ranieri had now been succeeded by Jose Mourinho, who saw this player as surplus to requirements. Who was it?
Pass.
Oh, it's going well. This is his specialist subject. This Portuguese player won the Champions League.
You know, I'd actually revise if I was doing it.
Okay. This Portuguese player won the Champions League with Porto before joining Chelsea, won Serie A with Inter Milan after he left Chelsea, joined Chelsea on loan from Dinamo Moscow in 2006, was part of Chelsea's league-winning squad that season, but didn't play enough games to win a medal.
Pass.
Which French midfielder is in the Claude Makélélé role? He was sold to Arsenal in 2007. He also went on to play for the likes of Real Madrid, Marseille and PSG.
Pass.
OK, which... specialist subject. Which Dutch defender got the nickname the Cannibal? I've started,
Winston
so
Bogart.
I've finished. No, well, I'll give you... I'll let you offer that one. For his ability to eat up the opposition, he was signed from Hamburg and sold to Stuttgart.
Pass.
OK, well, there we are. That's your questions there on Chelsea. You passed on...
I wanted the cricket ones, really. I didn't want to.
Passed on six, the ones you passed on. Yeah. Spanish fullback was Asier Del Horno.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
The Cameroon player was Jeremy.
I remember him as well.
The Russian player was Alexei Smertin.
Oh, yeah, I used to like him.
The Portuguese player who won the Champions League with Porto was Maniche.
Often, my nephew.
That's right, often partnered by my nephew. The French player in the Claude Makélélé role was Lassana Diarra.
Oh, yeah.
And the Dutch defender called the Cannibal was Khalid Bullerus.
Oh, I remember him. What, so, number nine?
Well done, Andy. I think you got one right.
It's not bad, is it? But I'm better on the general knowledge.
Okay, better on the general knowledge. So I think you're going to have to put some work in before you appear alongside Clive.
I know a different era.
Oh, okay, yes, of course. Well done, beautifully covered.
In fact, they were 2000. Bramwich didn't come in until 2004. Those questions technically weren't my specialist subject.
Okay.
They're quite poor work there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Charlie Baker will be with me. And I think Ellis James and Matt Lucas, of course, currently starring in the reboot of Fantasy Football, they'll be joining us. We look forward to that. And we'll have a birthday spread, of course, so Andy will be back at 3:30. Do hope you can join us then. If not, the podcast will be available at 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.